Good afternoon. This is Lynn Harris with Restoration and the Sun Ministries and Creative Media Ministries. And we have a devotion today that I'd like to share with you that God gave me a few weeks ago. And it's called, You Shall Have No Other Gods Before Me. Let me repeat that. You shall have no other gods before me. You see, I didn't write these very words with my finger in sapphire stone, but God sure did. In fact, written stone means that they will never change or be removed. Exodus 20, 3-5 states in God's very words, You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. End quote. While visiting a remote, impoverished village in Thailand, while teaching English with ASAP Ministries, I met a devout Christian convert from Buddhism. After striking up a conversation with the woman, I was so impressed with her. She was well-spoken, kind, and highly educated. When I learned that she had visited New York City 3 years earlier, I asked her what she thought of America. She explained that she hated it. She'd never seen more idolatry anywhere in her entire life. Now, her country was overrun with blatant idolatry everywhere you turn. There's altars to appease Buddha, and there are other gods, and their other gods were staring at you in the face when you went on to tell me why she thought Americans were idol worshippers, when there were idols everywhere you walked around Thailand. But she described three areas of idolatry that I thought was interesting. First, she said, not so gently, that Americans worship their stomachs. I said, ouch. Her eyes got very wide as she talked. This woman from a simple remote village described the massive stores she saw in New York, overstocked with food and restaurants, to sell to people who already looked like they had too much to eat. Ouch again, I thought. Evidently, this woman said she was offended by people who were so busy filling their stomachs when there were so many people in her village that were going hungry and nearly starving to death. Second, she described how Americans worship television. From her perspective, they design their homes around the television. She said it takes the most prominent place in the most important room, and the furniture is all arranged not for talking to people, but for watching their television. It was almost too much for her to comprehend that some people even allow a television in their bedroom. Of all places, she said to me. Finally, she said the worst form of idolatry was in the relationship people have with their phones in America. She was deeply offended that people used them while they were driving. Even worse was that no one, at least to her experience, could have a full conversation with her without reading something on their phone. Kind of gives a new meaning to American Idol, doesn't it? I didn't try to disagree with that Thai woman. I knew I couldn't. Everything she said was true, and she hadn't even scratched the surface. Without getting into our obsessions with food and media, I will simply raise the question about what we worship when we click. You are probably not putting a statue of a turtle ahead of God, and you probably aren't a star worshiper, but is your obsession with your phone or social media and internet surfing getting out of hand? Some of us can honestly answer no. We're already using technology with good boundaries. We control it. It doesn't control us. We might have a healthy view of social media and internet searching and how we interact with it. If so, I'm thankful, and you should be too. Yet I know many well-intentioned followers of Jesus who are being seduced and sucked into and consumed by the virtual world. They think, I just want to help my business, or this will give more exposure to my ministry. Or I just love staying in touch with so many friends and family members. My granddaughter, Natalie, showed me the Instagram accounts of her friends and explained how some of them set up fake likes. One teenage girl had only 112 followers. Her pics usually got 30 to 40 likes. But suddenly she would have 400 or more likes with only 112 followers. Evidently, she had an app. It was an app that helped her obtain fake likes. This makes absolute sense when your identity is based on what others say about you or if they're following your every whimsical words or social on social media and not on what God's word says about you in his own words. But when you know that you are unconditionally loved and accepted by God and affirmed in your identity as his child, you voluntarily submit to his authority and hold yourself accountable to him and his word. In Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, it says, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. That is where your true identity is found, hidden with Christ in God. Not only are teens certainly feeling peer pressure about their value and identity in this world, but I also have heard of respected Christian leaders who didn't have the number of Twitter followers they wanted, so they bought fake followers to give the illusion of success. Seriously? Quantity has replaced quality. Facebook can feel like a popularity contest, and it's easy to allow our worth and identity to become tangled with how many friends we have and likes and comments we receive. We might be tempted to evaluate ourselves and our friendships based on these random and often superficial interactions, interpreting rejection where there is none. When this happens, a hole begins to form within us that often causes us to become more social media obsessed. We can start to believe that if only we share a cute picture or a post or an insightful comment, everyone will know how competent and thoughtful we are. But whatever fulfillment or assurance we receive in the moment soon fades and can leave us lonelier than ever, because what we truly need is community. There's a great disease today called loneliness, and it's only healed in a relationship with Jesus Christ and then sharing that relationship with others. We need quality more than quantity, to spend time with those who know us deeply yet love us anyway. We need to connect with those who've seen more than our selfie smiles, who sat beside us as we weep or lash out in anger, and still choose to stay as your friend. The solution? Invite a friend or someone you like to become a friend for a visit or a meal, and leave your cell phone at home. At the end of your life, it won't matter how many likes or emojis you got, but how much love you showed God and others. Let me repeat that. At the end of your life, it won't matter how many likes or emojis you got, but how much love you showed God and others. Anytime we allow ourselves to be consumed with anything other than God and his will in our lives, we will never be satisfied. If we're looking for others to affirm us and show us our value, you'll never be satisfied. You'll become up empty. It must come from Christ alone. What if Twitter or social media didn't exist? Just a few years ago, it didn't. Humanity did just fine for centuries without Twitter or Instagram. We wrote letters or called on the phone. When I look at it from that perspective, it really isn't that important. The last thing I want to do is make light of anyone's struggle with social media or phone obsession. Peer pressure is crazy tough to deal with. But let's take an objective step back and ask ourselves, are we being seduced? Are we placing too much value on something that's not that important? Are we bowing down and worshiping something besides God? Are you bowing down and worshiping something besides God? Have we fallen into a new dimension of sin? Are our souls being seduced? Jesus asked the question, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Mark 8:36. We can adjust the question to today's culture. What good is it to get more followers, more likes, more comments, more Pinterest pins, and yet forfeit our soul? Is anything worth more than having a growing passion for our loving God and those he sends us to love through and for him? I don't think so. And neither does God, who clearly doesn't pull any punches. With ultimate directness, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below, You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Exodus 20, verse 3 to 5. Friends, that's pretty straightforward. You shall have no other gods before me. God wants to be first in our lives. Second place is not acceptable to him. It's not sinful for God to be jealous in this way, because for him, this is a holy jealousy, a righteous longing for our whole heart and mind to belong to him. Why is it wrong to put other people or things before God? First, we need to realize that God is holy, eternal, omnipotent, and sovereign. He's, well, God, and we most definitely are not. Because he is God, God must be first. We need to understand that we are not a body with a soul. We're a soul with a body. Our souls were created by God to be in intimate relationship with him. Our souls are created to know God, love him, worship him, and do life with him. It's wonderful to know our friends and to love them and be concerned about things. But the most important thing is to know God. It says to know God is life eternal. He's the one who's going to open the door for us to be in eternity. Friends are great. Spouses are wonderful. Kids are wonderful. They're all gifts to us. But they are not to be worshipped. They're not to be what drives us to get up and go every day. It's to know God. Our souls are created to know God, to love him, worship him, and do life with him. That's why we must guard the affections of our heart and soul and put God first, for out of our hearts flow the decisions we make in life. Proverbs 4:23 says this, quote, "Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." And in the expanded Bible version, it says, "Above all, be careful what you think about." Let's repeat that. Be careful what you think about, because your thoughts control your life. Proverbs 4:23. Be careful what you think about, friends, because your thoughts will control your life. Our souls can be seduced. Look at Eve, for example. She was seduced into believing that enjoying the taste of something created was better than obeying the Creator and his will, which he spoke to her personally. We most definitely can be distracted. Eve was seduced by believing that enjoying the taste of something that was created was better than obeying the Creator. The pollution of this world can poison the purity of God's presence and holy words, making it harder to see him and hear his still, small voice calling us to himself, to stay in relationship with him. Folks, it's a still, small voice. We have to get quiet, turn the noise off, close the doors, get quiet, get outside, get in the presence of God, and be still, and hear what he wants to say to you. That's why so many have to search so hard, and why we try to meet our need for God with other things. But money, food, things, friends, likes, followers, or whatever we think will make us happy never does make us truly happy. Our news feeds can be full, but our hearts and souls can be completely empty. Anytime we allow our souls to be consumed with anything other than God, we will never be satisfied. That is, the opinions of others, the comments of others, the words of others will never satisfy like the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11. Hide his word in your heart. Hide his word in your heart so you will not sin against him. I heard a quote that said, when we are at home in the world, it is because we are not at home in the word. When we are at home in the world, it is because we are not at home in the word, W-O-R-D. Before you find your heart emptied of God's word by the distractions of the world, refresh your mind with God's holy words written in stone. You shall have no other gods before me or beside me. You shall not make yourself any graven image to worship it, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above and the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, Exodus 20, verse 3 to 5. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. You're always reminding us that you must be first, best, last in our lives. Everything is a gift. Everything around us has been gifts that can be used to edify you and to honor and glorify you, or they can be distractions and things that take us away from a relationship with you, from knowing you. But at the end of life, we don't want to hear the words, "I don't know you." When the Bible says, "But I preached in your name, I went to prisons in your name, I fed the homeless in your name." And Jesus says, "But I don't know you." Father in heaven, I pray that we will spend this week knowing you, loving you, and then loving others with the life that you give us, to the people that you send us to, the times and situations we need to pray for, the people who need our prayers, the lives that need our love, our encouragement. As we refresh ourselves in you and die to self daily and get your will, not our will, into our minds, then, Lord, make us safe to go out and minister, to love, to help, whatever you're calling for us to do, whatever that is. Lord, may it be filled with the Holy Spirit working through us. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you so much. We need you to heal the brokenness, bind the wounds, to bring new beginnings to those restarting their lives in new places. Teachers going into the classroom, empty classrooms, trying to teach. Pastors trying to reach people so disconnected from you. Nurses, doctors, friends, parents, children, all of us, Lord, we need you so much. We have a short window of time left to proclaim this beautiful message of love. Please work through us this week, and may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name, amen.